This is Here and Now. Communist Party leaders in China have just wrapped up a four-day meeting known as the Third Plenum in Beijing. The meeting is significant for the world's second-largest economy because it's where leaders come up with their 10-year plan. Joining us to discuss what we know about the reforms that are being proposed is NPR's Frank Langfitt in Shanghai. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Jeremy.
So I see that the statement that the party released says they want to allow the market to play a decisive role in allocating resources and improve the government's role. First of all, what's that about?
Well, reading these things, these kinds of documents, is always very challenging in China because they're often very vaguely written, and it's later that you figure out what they actually meant. In that case, it's a good sign. One of the big problems in the last 10 years is the government has had a much larger role than people expected. They thought the government would continue to retreat from the economy, but it does have a very strong role, and it's seen as actually being very inefficient in allocating resources like money, for instance, so that money often goes to state enterprises and not necessarily to private businesses. So what they're talking about is kind of using the resources of the economy more efficiently to sort of drive growth. And I think that in general, I think people would welcome that here. Some of the other reforms that they're hinting at when you read this document, one is reforming the urban residency system. This is the case, there are hundreds of millions of rural migrants who are living in the cities, but they don't really get much in the way of health and education benefit. It's kind of a legalized discrimination. Hmm. It's not fair, and they want to change that. And the idea is to give them more benefits, these migrant workers, and so they have a more stable life in the cities and be able to spend more money, drive the economy. That would be very good. One thing that's not in here, it's no surprise, but it's not great news, is no real attempts to reform the state-owned enterprises. These are big government companies. They're monopolies, basically, in telecom, finance, and energy, seen as a drag on the economy. But frankly, they're sitting on a ton of money. They're very powerful, vested interests, and probably seen as too powerful right now to take on.
But didn't this government come in saying they were going to combat corruption?
They are combating corruption. There are a lot of people you talk to now who feel that President Xi Jinping, the new president, has probably done more to fight corruption than any of his recent predecessors. There's often a lot of skepticism and cynicism about corruption fighting here because it tends to be people who are politically on the outs. They end up in jail somewhere. But he's gone after a lot of people. And if you talk to ordinary Chinese today, even though it's not a systemic change, they feel he's really trying to make an effort.
And this is a plan for the next decade. What kind of challenges will China face in that time? You've been covering the country for years.
A ton of challenges. I mean, you could look at the last three decades and say, economically, it's been extremely successful, but it's all been kind of low-hanging fruit. It was a low-wage model, export to the West. In the last 10 years, and particularly the last five, building a lot of roads and bridges, driving the economy with stimulus spending by the government. But there's a sense that doesn't really work anymore. Right now, it's a middle-income country. They want to really push it to become a much more advanced economy and one that'll be higher income, more consumer-driven. One thing you're seeing, though, on the consumer-driven side, which is very important, and you're seeing some improvements there. Just yesterday, we saw they had a Cyber Monday here, basically the Chinese version of Cyber Monday, and retail sales at this giant retailer, Alibaba, were more than $5 billion.
Wow.
So some of the changes that the Chinese government is trying to push are also already occurring, which is a good sign for the economy.
Do they have a Black Friday?
I don't know that they kind of do have a Black Friday, and I'll tell you, given the population here, I wouldn't go anywhere near it.
Frank, we heard yesterday on the program from somebody who said that China is going to become less competitive because wages are starting to rise there and that companies may start moving some of their manufacturing back to the U.S. In fact, it's already happening in places like Texas. Is that something, rising wages, that could cause a problem for China going forward?
Well, in many ways, that's exactly what China wants to happen. I mean, they want to get out of the low-wage export business because, as I was saying earlier, it's a middle-income country, and they're afraid of getting stuck there, which a lot of countries do. They never make it to becoming a high-wage country. And so in many cases, I think central government's happy to see some of these shoe factories and textiles go to places like Vietnam or Bangladesh. And what they're hoping to do is replace them with better jobs, higher value economy. And what that's going to mean is a lot more research and development, education reform. This is not an education system that teaches innovation. A better banking system like we were talking about earlier, getting more money to private businesses because they create really the vast majority of jobs here. So there's a lot of work to do in this area, and it's not clear that China's going to be able to make the leap.
Well, which brings up the question, what other reforms were proposed? Was there political reform proposed at this meeting aimed at making the country more democratic?
Not at all. And this was basically about economics, and this is usually what they focus on. But there's even while they're pushing economic reform, there's no talk, really, of anything that we in the West would consider to be political reform. And what, in fact, we've seen in the last year or two, I'd say, is you have a lot of people now who are quite successful, I mean, multimillionaires, and they're going online, and they might have 10, 20 million followers on the Chinese equivalent of Twitter, and they're calling for political reform, and the government is responding by either shutting them up, deleting their accounts, or in some cases, jailing them. A couple of theories around this. One is that Xi Jinping, the new president, just has no interest in a more open political environment. The other is maybe he's just trying to consolidate power, focus on the economy, which is of greater concern to the party right now, and frankly, the more immediate threat to power.
Now, you have been poring through this statement. Is there anything we missed in there that was interesting to you?
Well, one thing, some of this stuff, the way it's written, again, to us as English readers and being from the West, is sometimes kind of funny. One is this. This country is not a communist country. It's a Communist Party runs it, but it's a hybrid sort of what we call state capitalist system. And one of the lines in the document today said, China must build on the paramount reality that it remains in the primary stage of socialism. Hmm. Well, anybody on the streets of Shanghai would look at that and just go, what? to give you an example, before I came over to the office today, I stopped off and had lunch with a friend. And on the way out of the Ritz-Carlton, I walked past a red Ferrari and a pink BMW coupe. And, you know, if that's the primary stage of socialism, I can't wait to see what the next one looks like.
NPR's Frank Langfitt in Shanghai. Thanks a lot.
Happy to do it, Jeremy.